Greetings and welcome again to Meditation Moments. God bless you and give you victory these days. Know that there's victory for you through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, victory is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. We can be real overcomers, but we'll never be overcomers unless we are really praying Christians. Now, Matthew 6:6, God's word says that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I wonder if you have a little quiet place where you pray. I remember reading some time ago about a young man who would watch his mother who had been working hard all day, and she wasn't a young woman. But she would seem so weary about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Her feet would sort of falter and her shoulders would seem a little more bent. And then she went to the secret place that she had. It was a little closet under the stairway. And there she would stay for quite a little while. And he said it was always a matter of wonderment to me, to him, that when she came out of that secret place of prayer, her shoulders seemed a little straighter. And her feet had picked up the old pace, and there was a light on her face. And he said, while lots of the sermons he heard preached in his childhood church never seemed to reach down to his heart. But he said that picture of what his mother got in that place of prayer, the refreshment that she received in the quiet place of prayer, this place that God's word speaks of in this verse, enter into thy closet, shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Do you have a secret place like that? Do you go alone with God and have fellowship with him? Oh, there's so much that's said in connection with religion, just religion, which isn't fellowship with God, the outward performance, the mechanical part of these things. It's not real fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there can be no real fellowship unless there's real prayer. And I don't think there's ever real prayer unless there's a little secret place, a place where you go aside with him alone and let him talk to your heart, and then you listen for him to talk to you, because prayer is not a one-sided thing. It's a conversation where you wait and you listen for him to answer. And we say so many times on our programs that prayer changes things. Oh, if prayer does change things, why don't we pray? If there's a real problem in your life today, if there's some hardship that has come upon you, or you're passing through some real trial, how can you cast your burden on the Lord? How can you get out from under that awful pressure? Unless you go to the Lord alone and tell him all about it. He's waiting in the secret place. You know, if Queen Elizabeth was waiting to talk to you and someone came and called up to you and said that the Queen of England was waiting to talk to you, how you would hurry down and you'd feel so proud that anyone's that held such a high position wanted to talk to you. But God waits in the secret place. This scripture here speaks of the secret place and that God's waiting there to talk to your heart. He wants to talk to you. Yes, he does. Will you say, I haven't gotten through to God and I haven't, he hasn't seemed to answer. He hasn't seemed to hear. Well, you know, there must be a great desire to hear from God. There must be a deep sincerity. There must be a real longing to hear from God and a real seeking after and searching for him. And he will reveal himself, as we've said before many times, that he says, seek me and ye shall find me. When you seek him in the secret place and open your heart and bear your soul to him, and he will reveal himself as you listen for him to talk back to your heart. Oh, I think so much of the all-sufficiency of the Lord and how it far exceeds the bounds of our faith, and yet we so neglect prayer. According to his word, there's no limit what God can do. So there should be no limit in our faith for the supply of every need, but how is he going to answer your need unless you ask him? You say, well, he ought to know. It says that God knows everything and he knows my need. Oh, but he said, ask, and ye shall receive. He said that. He told you to ask. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Spurgeon said he was riding along one day meditating on the scripture, "My grace is sufficient for thee," when he broke into a laugh and said why an ant had just as well look at the Pacific Ocean and fear a water famine as for any Christian to view the shoreless promises in God's word and fear the lack of any needed supply. Isn't that true? But you must ask for it. Come to him in prayer and tell him all about it and cast the care upon him. Remember, dear, when all God has ever said or promised is changeless, for with him there's no variableness or shadow cast by turning. James 1:17. Will you join with us as we have just a breath of prayer? Father, we thank thee for thy great love and provision for us. We thank thee for the limitless supply of our needs. Forgive us, Lord, that we have believed for so little when the supply is so great. Forgive us, Lord, that we have not taken seriously thy wonderful promises in thy precious word. We're deeply grateful, but we ask for any listening in that do not have faith for these things. There are those on beds of sickness who need thy touch, those in financial distress who need thy supply, those that are surrounded by doubt and unbelief that need a touch from thee, Lord. They need a revelation of Jesus Christ. For all these we ask thy help and thy healing, thy supply. Bless them, Lord, we pray thee in Jesus' precious name, and help them to know for truth that prayer does change things and that God lives and has his hand on the helm of the universe today. Amen.